And, you know, it was a chance that the Chicago Bulls had to do it without Michael Jordan, but it didn't quite work out.
I thought we played more physical, a lot tougher in the second half. Tried to spread them out with a smaller lineup. We just couldn't make enough shots to put really any real pressure on them. We cut it close a few times, but, you know, I'm really just proud of the way my players, you know, fought.
That's Bulls coach Vinny Del Negro, who said his team fought to the end, but it wasn't much of a contest in the seventh game, even after all the double and triple overtimes in this first-round series between the Chicago Bulls and the Boston Celtics. The Celtics advance. The Bulls go home. Here in the studio is Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, our sports blogger and takeaway contributor. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning.
So that was a nail-biter, but it's only round one of the NBA playoffs.
I'm exhausted. I'm completely exhausted. It's like your eyes are completely wide open the entire time. They played almost eight games full of basketball, and literally everybody who watched it, they're exhausted.
But it proves the point that a lot of basketball fans and a lot of non-basketball fans say is that the real NBA season starts with the playoffs. Forget everything else.
It's almost as, we were talking about this earlier. It's almost as if they play way too much basketball at this time in the season. And why don't they shorten the season or make the playoff game shorter? Back in the day, they used to have five games in the first round.
Right, and I think they should go back to that. And hockey's got the same problem. Even though there's some exciting hockey games going on, it's still, you know, we're centuries away from the Stanley Cup.
It's emotionally, spiritually in exhausting. If you're really committed to watching all these games, if you're really committed to all these teams, you're going to be sitting in front of your TV a lot.
And I guess you had a little problem with your television access in the middle of that Game 7.
So, yeah, so I ended up watching it at a grimy sports bar in Albany, which was a unique experience for me, and I'm usually not in those settings, but it was definitely fun because you got all these screens around you.
And there are some grimy sports bars in Albany. Let's talk about the Celtics for a moment. When those Celtics starters come back on the court, there's a real sense that there's power there. There's a real sense that the Celtics definitely have a team that can put it together. What explains why this went to Game 7?
Well, first of all, the Celtics are depleted. They're without their main guy, Kevin Garnett, and they're without one of their best guys, Leon Poe. Leon Poe led, when he was at Cal, he led the Pac-10 in scoring. They were a depleted Celtics team, but they still had a new big three with Rondo, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen.
And but Garnett, just his presence on the court has an emotional impact on the team.
I think Garnett is whispering into every player, but really at the end of each game, you see Paul Pierce every time at the end of every game, every close game, he's talking to every single player. He's talking to people in the huddle. He's the real leader of the team.
But this NBA playoffs is all about, can LeBron make it all the way, right?
Everyone wants to see LeBron versus Kobe. You forget that the Bulls had what he was talking about, Vinny Del Negro, that small lineup. He's talking about Derrick Rose, Ben Gordon, John Salmons, and Kirk Heinrich. They brought in players in the middle of the season. They had a losing record in the beginning of the season. They brought in players at the second half of the season, and they made a run that's spectacular.
So who does Cleveland have to get by to advance?
Right now, Cleveland is playing Atlanta, and I'm calling this the most athletic series in the next round. That if you want to see just pure, straight-up athleticism, watch that series.
Of course, we've been talking about the East, and nobody pays attention to the East in the NBA. It's all about the West, and as you say, Kobe. What are those matchups looking like?
I'm excited about the LA-Houston matchup. You got Ron Artest, who was the much-maligned player for the Pacers that got involved in that big brawl a couple years back. He is, I think, probably the only guy that can guard Kobe and LeBron. So right now you have them. Him and Yao Ming and a bunch of other cast of characters going against the Lakers. I mean, I would love to predict an upset. It's not going to happen.
What matchups are going to bring the NBA back? Certainly, it's struggled in the last couple of years in terms of ratings and profile. TV contracts are a problem. What are the matchups they're going to say, NBA, you're a bankable asset?
Well, William Roden of the New York Times columnist just called this game, this Celtics-Boston series, the best series ever in basketball history. That's a big claim, but also Mike in the Morning, they call it the best series ever in NBA history. I think that series brought it back.
But if they don't go up from here, then it's a disaster.
It's a very good point. The Dallas-Denver series, LA and Houston, this season, this playoffs is really, really tight. Actually, the under-the-radar one, Orlando versus Boston, might be the most boring, but it might be the most competitive.
A point on hockey for a moment. Yeah. The Canadians dominate typically, and the goalies dominate most of all. What style of hockey are you seeing? I mean, this is a really high-profile playoff post the disaster that the NHL went through 2-3 years ago.
What you have right now is you have Pittsburgh, Sidney Crosby, and Washington's Alex Ovechkin. They're the last two players to capture the Hart Trophy as the league MVP. And then you have also Crosby's teammate Evgeny Malkin. They literally the youngest, brightest, fastest, most artistic hockey players in the NHL are playing against each other.
No thuggery. It's all artistry at this point.
Indeed.
All right. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, sports blogger, takeaway contributor, racking it all up on a Monday morning as we figure out what happened over the weekend. Thanks, Ibrahim.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.